I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
And
what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, June 28th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. A few years ago, the Oxford English Dictionary pointed to post-truth as the word of the year, and now we are in a moment where we can see the realization of what happens when we move in that direction, a totalitarian propaganda sort of direction. You know, again, if you read Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, chapter 11 is the end of truth. So post-truth over an Oxford English Dictionary means relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal beliefs. So appeals to emotion and personal belief are more influential than objective facts. That's where we are. And that's where we've continued to move. It's gotten to a point now where a few months ago, Bruce Jenner, also known as Caitlyn, obviously, did a Fox News interview. And you can find that video on YouTube. The title is, I'm Getting So Tired of This Woke World. I think that's ironic. So, if you follow the theme of the Bible, like I said yesterday, the whole transgender discussion, the whole, it's homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sin, like drunkenness, you know. By the way, for those who don't understand, I've had this conversation a few times. If you don't understand or haven't done the roots or the research, I guess, on Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, who Gerald Hurd and Bill Wilson were, you know, if you don't understand the kind of the esoteric roots of it, I would say the theosophical roots. And that this is one of those clever deals, you know, where, well, I mean, the 12 steps, you know, we acknowledge a higher power, right? But it, from the beginning, you say, we recognize we were powerless. And that's completely antithetical to the new creature in Christ, biblically speaking. So it's not the same thing in simple terms. You know, you go to Wikipedia for the Gerald Hurd entry, for example. Hurd was a guide and mentor to numerous well-known people in the 50s and 60s, including Aldous Huxley, Henry Luce, you know, Skull and Bonesman, Henry Luce, Time Magazine, Claire Booth Luce. They were both theosophists, by the way. And Bill Wilson, co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. His work was a forerunner of an influence on the consciousness development movement that has spread in the West since the 1960s. So that's fun. Not exactly the story that most people are familiar with. Anyway, this is where we're at in America. And the story of you know, the post-truth world, the moral relativist, you know, what's true for you is blah blah blah, which is not true at all. You know, the dialectical world we live in is bearing fruit now. And so, like I said, the biblical story on the subjects like homosexuality and drunkenness is very simply, it's a sin. And the more that we lean into that, the worse things get, you know, societally, so to speak. And that's what we've been encouraged to do. And because we are not steadfast and resolute, because we have lost our even comprehension of didactic reasoning, because we have been socially engineered to believe that, you know, we've been beaten and beaten and beaten into submission, generally speaking, to believe that, you know, if you think that, hey, this is bad, that's not okay, let's not do that, and you say that, then society says you're a bad person because A, you're not entertaining the dialectic anymore, and B, you're not religiously devoted to positivism. Well, you didn't say that in a positive way. And, you know, because you're not entertaining shades of gray and you're just saying, well, it's black and white, and in this case, that's evil, we shouldn't do that. A, you didn't entertain shades of gray, and B, you didn't say what you said in a positive way. Well, then you must be evil, clearly. You must be a bad person because you didn't hold to the religious devotion to the dialectic conflict model where we collide shades of gray together. And you didn't hold to the religious devotion to positivism. You got to say it in a positive way. You know, positive reinforcement, right, because we're all Skinner box experiments. I don't know what you mean. I know, and that's part of the problem. You're not familiar with the operant conditioning chamber, B.F. Skinner's Skinner box, and how that has become the public school model that we send our children to, and they just become little box checkers. And they're like the elephant that grows up chained to the stake at the circus, and by the time it's full grown, it doesn't realize that at any moment it could pull that toothpick out of the ground and walk away. But it's been conditioned to believe that it can't, and so it never tries. There's that nine-dot experiment, to use an example, and most it's sort of emblematic of where people are mentally. They can't get outside of the box, literally or figuratively. You know, the nine dots, connect all of the nine dots with four lines without lifting your pencil. And you have to go outside of the box to connect the dots with the four lines. So that is sort of emblematic of where we are. And this has been done. We've been war gamed. This has been a military strategy all along. And the thing that is most fascinating to me that I've mentioned recently, the thing that's absolutely fascinating to me about this is that the agenda has been telegraphed all along, and people don't want to believe. Who wants to believe the horrifying reality of what's coming? But it's been telegraphed for decades. It's been telegraphed for longer than that. It's been telegraphed for at least 100 years. But certainly, I mean, at the highest levels of government, you know, it's been telegraphed in, for example, the Global Trends reports from the National Intelligence Council when they started back in 1997. So, but who reads? Who reads anything anymore, let alone that kind of thing? Who's read the latest 2030, 2040? And, you know, you listen to these people who are making things happen, and they will tell you unabashedly. And so the scenario planning happens. I mean, we've played the clips of guys like Angus Bergen, who told us all we need to know. Imagining a new moral economy. Imagining a new moral economy. And we always have to define terms. There's an article that Larry sent me by Glenn Greenwald. It's funny how everyone is becoming a conservative. Glenn Greenwald, one of those folks, you know. Not that he is, but, you know, this is what's happening. So Glenn writes this article, The New Domestic War on Terror is Coming. It's republished over at Signs of the Times, SOTT.net. And published last year, actually, last January 2021. And this is kind of what I've been trying to say. We are being wargamed. So in that, there are a couple of videos. Glenn posted one of the videos, former CIA official Jeremy Bash, now of NBC News. Isn't it funny how there are a lot of former CIA officials? Now it's just, there was a time when that was a problem, you know, back during those congressional hearings in the 70s, when we heard folks like William Colby say things that were shocking. It was horrifying to think that folks in the CIA were working in the media, but now it's gone so far the other direction. Oh yeah, well, why wouldn't we want them? Because, you know, they can, you know, they have all of that experience, that background to draw from. But maybe there's a potential concern there. Anyway, one of the comments in this video is somebody says intelligence, quote unquote, another word I used to know the meaning of. Exactly. So imagining a new moral economy, I suppose we need to define terms what we mean. But in that video, remember Angus Bergen, who is, you know, one of the think tanky Johns Hopkins movers and shakers, said that historically, you know, when Hari Han, the moderator, says, "What do you think this? What can we learn from this crisis? What changes can we implement?" And what conditions like economic crises and other societies? Okay, so how can this lead to a reimagining of our socioeconomic structure? And Angus Bergen said, "I would like to emphasize it's a misnomer to think that the crises lead to reimagining." And he said, "You look back over the decades, the 30s, the 70s, etc. The transformation happened decades before the crisis. The transformative thought, the scenario planning, and all of that, the goal setting, you know, all of that happened decades before. So to think that to think that when the crisis arises, suddenly that's going to precipitate addressing the some kind of issue, that's a misnomer. But also to think that, you know, that's kind of from their side, so to speak. That's from the, you know, the side of the philosopher kings. But from our side, the side of the general public, to think that when something happens, the response, that's what Hari Han thought. And she's in this conversation. How can this crisis, you know, lead to a reimagining? And Angus Bergen's very clear. He says that's not how it works. The reimagining happens often decades before a crisis. And so, like somebody wisely observed, if you can change things in a time of crisis, then, you know, if they can change things in times of crisis, then they will find a crisis to change things. And again, if you go back and read the conversations during the Constitutional Convention, or you read the Federalist Papers, this is not a new discussion. This is a maxim of history. It's such a maxim, it's cliche, to paraphrase the founders, the American founders. We've known this since, you know, time immemorial. For all of recorded history, that's been a maxim, a cliche. And yet, here we are. And the thing that's most astonishing to me, like I said, is that these things are telegraphed. This is what we're going to do. Almost like, you know, try and stop us kind of thing. What are you going to do about it? They're telegraphed in a variety of ways. But because most of the general public doesn't want to believe the horrifying reality of what they should be taking at face value, there are a number of folks who should be who should have already been tried and convicted of treason, I would say, in America over the last 100 years at least. A number of traitors who have not been working in the best interest of the orthodoxy of the Constitutional Republic. It's pretty obvious to see, you know, anybody who was involved in the establishment of the Federal Reserve, for example. Constitution, as Andrew Jackson succinctly put it, provides an insuperable objection to anything remotely resembling the Federal Reserve. Doesn't give a private bank the power and authority, or doesn't give Congress the power and authority to divest itself of that responsibility. Now, according to the Federal Reserve itself, St. Louis Fed website, Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. But it's okay because, you know, there's oversight and regulation. Oh, wait, there isn't. Remember, it was Bernanke who was asked directly among, you know, it's not the first time or the last time, but he was asked directly, so where did all that money go? I can't tell you. And, you know, speaking of Bernanke, I remember there's still that speech on Milton Friedman's 90th birthday back in 2002. And something happened just a few short years later, and I proved beyond a shadow of a doubt the forces that were at work in creating the thing that happened just a few short years later. But on Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, November 8, 2002, the celebration, Federal Reserve has a conference honoring Milton Friedman, and Bernanke spoke. Remember, he said, "You were right, Milton. We did, you know, we caused the Great Depression, but we won't do it again. But they did. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
We'll be right back. Welcome back.
To finish the point, in case you know, somebody isn't aware, we've talked about this a million times, but you can still find this speech, federalreserve.gov/board/docs/speeches/2002/2002-1108/default.htm. And it's titled Remarks by Governor Ben S. Bernanke at the conference to honor Milton Friedman, University of Chicago, Chicago, Illinois, November 8, 2002. On Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, and Bernanke closed that speech by saying, for practical central bankers, among which I now count myself, Friedman and Schwartz's analysis leaves many lessons. And remember, this is 2002. Something happened just about a handful of years after that that was already in the works, by the way, which was the point that I was making. There are folks who proved that. I was among them, you know, proving that the forces came primarily from folks like the Group of 30. And if you're not aware of those guys, you can go to group30.org. Consultative group of international economic and monetary blah, blah, blah. There's Timothy Geithner. He's the... So you got Larry Summers, Timothy Geithner, Paul Volcker, and, you know, guys like Paul Krugman. This is kind of where the trickle-down comes from. And I, you know, back when these things were happening around 2008, I was calling Geithner, Volcker, and Summers the unholy trinity because the forces, you know, things like the mark-to-market accounting rule came from the Group of 30. And so this was kind of the death knell of the economy. Janet Yellen's over there, Mark Carney's over there. You know, the who's who. And so this is where the economic stuff rolls out from on high to the G7, to the G20, and then by proxy, anybody who wants to participate in the credit monopoly. And if you don't want to participate, that's okay. We'll just bomb you back to the Stone Age and steal your resources, your natural resources in the process anyway. But, you know, you should probably cooperate with the mob when they come down. But when they come in and do the shakedown and say, you know, if you want to be part of the protection racket, then you better get in line. So things were happening. Bruce Wiseman wrote the series of articles at Canada Free Press and wrote the book, actually. And, you know, the financial crisis was no accident, and the second wave is coming is kind of how he put it, crisis by design. Which, again, you know, I mean, this is not a new subject. Naomi Klein's shock doctrine deals with the same subject. And so what is shock doctrine? 2007 book by the Canadian author and social activist Naomi Klein. In the book, Klein argues that neoliberal free market policies, as advocated by the economist Milton Friedman, there's that, have risen to prominence in some developed countries because of a deliberate strategy of shock therapy. What is that? In economic shock therapy is the sudden release of price and currency controls, economic liberalization, withdrawal of state subsidies, and immediate trade liberalization within a country, usually also including large-scale privatization of previously public-owned assets. And, you know, there are books like this. There's, you know, all kinds of books along this, you know, Confessions of Economic Hitman by John Perkins and those kinds of things. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Kate. Great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Love.
All right, welcome back. So lots of books have been written about this. And the truth has been told, but we don't want to believe the truth. We've been conditioned not to believe. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much sticking in the sand of our heads we do, or, you know, how much positivism we try to pump into our social discourse, it doesn't change the reality that bad guys have been planning something for a long time. They've been working diligently at it. You can see the reality of, for example, what John Perkins wrote about in Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You can see the reality of it, you know, in the CIA's foreign policy from before it even began. I mean, as the OSS, same things were happening, and Edward Bernays was hired to be involved in the propaganda machine, not only to essentially, you know, kind of, you know, he was the precursor in this context of Gene Sharp and the color revolutionary seeds, but also to propagandize the American people to go along with this kind of thing. So the reality of this has been out in plain sight for quite some time. You know, let's see. Word Bernays, Wikipedia, Torches of Freedom. There's that. The term was first used by psychoanalyst A.A. Brill, talked about Abraham Arden Brill and the things that Bernays said about him and, you know, what they were doing in very esoteric, occult sort of fashion, you know, hypnotizing people, which reminds me of the video we played by Melissa Dykes, True Stream Media, yesterday. So, Bernays. Notable clients and campaigns. Wikipedia entry for Edward Bernays. Notable clients and campaigns. Let's see. United Fruit and Guatemala. 1954, the United Fruit Company, today's Chiquita Brands International, hired Bernays in the 40s for the purpose of promoting banana sales within the United States, which he did by linking bananas to good health and to American interests. I've read Christopher Bryson's The Fluoride Deception and his interviews with Bernays. I did that recently. Anyway, you know, speaking of doctors, oh, people believe anything. If doctors, you can say doctors support it, which is why for a million years, you know, we had fluoride toothpastes with commercials that said, you know, 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed, blah, blah, blah. Which he did by linking bananas to good health and to American interests and by placing them strategically in the hands of celebrities and hotels and other conspicuous places. People don't realize that's where that came from. And to this day, my generation in particular thinks that that's normal. You know, and Bernays talked about this in propaganda. Placing bananas strategically in the hands of celebrities in hotels and other conspicuous places so that people think, oh, well, you know, we should have bananas at home. We should eat bananas all the time. Bernays also argued that United Fruit needed to put a positive spin, there you go with that, on the banana-growing countries themselves, and for this purpose created a front group called the Middle American Information Bureau, which supplied information to journalists and academics. I wonder if that ever happens. You know, I found, by the way, incidentally, I found the clip Carrie Mullis, we ought to just play that actually, him saying what he was saying. It was an excerpt from the House of Numbers documentary from 2009. That was the clip that I was thinking of. But he said the same thing in the Gary Null interview So, you know, House of Numbers is an interesting documentary. If you're not familiar, you can go to houseofnumbers.com. But you know, that's essentially the whole AIDS story, you know, and Pauli St. George has done a good job of, you know, she did a series of videos shining a bright light on PEPFAR and the whole criminal money laundering syndicate that revolves around the AIDS PSYOP. You know, and you get all these scientists, credentialed folks, you know, like Carrie Mullis, who say, yeah, no, I don't. And it was Luc Montagnier that he asked, you know, I couldn't think of who it was yesterday that he went to, you know, it was Luc Montagnier. So it's, you know, Robert Gallo and Montagnier are the two folks that, you know, you would think, oh, well, I can ask this guy and surely he'll say, you know. And so the way that Carrie Mullis put it, I was at the edge of my faith, basically, in this establishment. And he, I think it was the, I forget which interview, but I mean, he said some really amazing things. You know, he said there is no, I want to say it was the Google Fireside Chat. Was that it? Fireside Chat, I think, is what the Google talk was. When he said there is no group of wise men, you know, there is no group of grand poobahs, basically, at the top of like the journals and things, and you can get, you know, things get published the same way they get published, you know, kind of in the same fashion that I'm talking about here. That's the whole point. So Bernays creates the Middle America Information Bureau, which supplied information to journalists and academics. And really what this comes down to is, not to skip ahead, but this article that I mentioned that Larry sent me, that Glenn Greenwald wrote back in January of 2021, over at, reposted over at Signs of the Times, SOTT.net, there's a link to Andrew Lobachevsky's book, Political Ponderology, The Science of Evil, Psychopathy, and the Origins of Totalitarianism. Essentially, this is what happens. This is what I've been talking about when we say, you know, how does the dialectical conflict model work? And I think in simple terms, you know, again, it's this journey from A to Z, which I talked about last week, you know, and A being the garden and total or pure innocence. And then over on the far end of the spectrum, the other side, you have Z and total depravity, Genesis 6:5, basically, that kind of thing. Or, you know, what's happening, what results in, you know, the culmination of things in Romans chapter 1, for example, just a short, like, how does it happen? How does this happen? You know, how do we get here? And if you read Romans chapter 1, you get the short, the distilled treatise, you know, I would say starting in verse 18, certainly in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. But then what happens? For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's where we are today. You know, we're not supposed to be able to talk about, you know, Matt Walsh makes a documentary, What is a Woman? Did the Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade just to, you know, stick it to Matt Walsh and folks, you know? We can't, you know, Supreme Court justices suddenly in America can't, you know, tell us what a woman is, can't define a woman. But now all of a sudden the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. And there was that, I think we played the clip of Bill Maher. Even Bill Maher said, it's absurd to think that, you know, trans people are more affected by Roe v. Wade than, how did he put it? Oh, I don't know. Breeders is what he said. You know, that women are some, and the thing that was crazy was the list that he was pointing to didn't even mention women. You know, the groups affected most by the overturning of Roe v. Wade did not mention women. Is that politically correct? You know, because we can't define what a woman is now. You know, how, and there's nothing more, you know, the irony of all of this, speaking of professing to be wise, they became fools. The irony of all of this is the ostensible argument, or, you know, the assertions that's made is, and what people think, you know, the surreptitious justification of this nonsense is, well, you know, we're trying to validate these people and honor these people, when in reality, what you're doing is, there's nothing more dehumanizing than the subterfuge of language and in turn people that is at work in this process. So, you know, that's the irony. The point is, the process that's been at work is this process of ponderology. You know, to put it in a word, I mean, that's what's been happening over the decades. We have lost our way and we've bought into this nonsense that the dialectic continuum is something that we have to participate in. And if you don't hold the line, America, you are about to be destroyed. Even the Glenn Greenwalds know that. The new domestic war on terror is coming. And we've seen it more and more openly. And I've said over the years that, you know, unfortunately, this typically comes from the quarter that is used to marginalize and besmirch message and messenger by sensationalizing it. And the way that works is, you know, we know that the Fabians said gradualism is the way. The cultural Marxists agree that's how we accomplish the long march to the institutions, gradually, over the course of decades and generations. So what you do is, while you're doing that, you sensationalize the process and get people, you actually predictively program the future while you marginalize and besmirch anyone who would try to tell the truth by association, because of the sensationalists, the folks who say, you know, and the way that I've talked about this is, you know, somebody, there are I don't know what the word might be, but, you know, there are folks in our midst who are sensational, and they, you know, something is happening, and in gradualist fashion on the Richter scale, it's probably a 1 or a 2 or maybe a 3, maybe a 4. And it's big. And we should notice, because if you understand the Richter scale, you know, that's orders of magnitude different, you know, from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. But they say, oh my gosh, it's an 11. It's a 10. It's an 11. And 11 is sensational, obviously, because the Richter scale doesn't go to 11. So they say, you know, it's an 11. And everybody says, look, man, we can't have a real discussion because you're being crazy. There's truth in there, but it is marginalized because of the way that it's presented. And therefore, anyone who would try to tell the truth that's in there is discredited. Message and messenger are automatically discredited because some of the loudest voices are sensational, and I believe very intentionally. I don't think that happens by accident. Not, I mean, if it was by accident, then would it be every single time, all the time, kind of the same recipe? That's like imagining that I would bake a perfect apple pie every time by accident. I thought I was going to make a cake, you know. I wanted to make a vanilla cake. It was a perfect apple pie every time. What are the odds? Totally an accident. There was something very intentional in there somewhere when I made the apple pie. It doesn't just happen by accident. So, motive is another thing. You know, what someone's intentions are is another thing. But the process is what it is. Stick around, we'll be right back.
We have gun rules changing all over. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The Supreme Court said that New York's arbitrary discretion over concealed carry permits is unconstitutional. This may mean that more states will become shall-issue states, but we shouldn't jump the gun yet. The may-issue states could just pass specific laws restricting who can or can't have a concealed carry permit, removing the decision-making process from the issuing authority. On the same day, 10 Senate Republicans joined the Democrats in passing new gun rules. Some of the new rules are actually common sense. For example, if an 18-year-old wants to buy a gun, then maybe their juvenile record really is relevant. However, I don't like the idea of federal money helping states with so-called red flag laws. I just don't see how due process and red flag confiscations can coexist. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour. To the phones, Don in Arizona. Thanks for calling. Welcome. Oh, we lost Don. Apologize, Don. I think you were waiting for a while, so feel free to call back. By the way, the It's so ironic. You know, the sly, subtle. Well, again, you know, the biblical themes. I've talked about this different ways when I was, you know, last couple of times, I think, that I was a guest on with Jeremy from Kentucky. You know, I talked about the flesh and the way that there's this battle that is exploited. You know, the weaknesses of the flesh. I mentioned this, I think, the other day when Rhonda called, I think. Romans chapter 7, you know, Paul says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now," and this is capital L, "so now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing is not. For the good that I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one that who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin." So, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we're supposed to crucify the flesh metaphorically, not mutilate ourselves, but, you know, basically put this thing to death, or not feed it, not encourage it, you know, basically starve it. Win the war of attrition by starving, denying the flesh, so to speak, and not in an ascetist sort of fashion or ascetic sort of fashion, but, you know, instead, you know, Nancy Reagan famously said, "Just say no." And this is a case of, you know, people would say, like Stephen Covey used to say, "Well, but what do you say yes to? You have to have a bigger yes, because no isn't always enough." And so in this case, bigger yes is the Holy Spirit. But the point is, this concept of the flesh has been weaponized, and so there are people who have been encouraged to believe that they're victims, and the always victim class, as some people have put it. And the truth is, there is some victimhood there. You know, I've talked about how for years, like what, 2013, 14, something like that, there were years before the 2016 election that I was saying we're all victims of trauma, psychological trauma and abuse in America. We really are. I mean, unless you're living in some, I don't know, Amish community somewhere, maybe you can say you're not, but anyone who's spent time in, you know, modern civilization has been abused and traumatized to some extent. And so there is a reality to the victimhood. But then when that's exploited and used as a justification to, you know, encourage and goad the flesh in the Romans 7 fashion, then all of a sudden we wind up with all of these groups